This week's episode is brought to you by Threads and Beams. Stick around to hear more.
Oh God, one more podcast? Ahoy hoy there. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to Desi Standard Time. Maz Ali here.
Maz Khan here as well.
Sweet Cheeks, how you doing, man?
I'm doing all right. How you feeling?
I'm doing all right, man. I'm excited. You know, my blood is pumping. I'm calling you Sweet Cheeks. I'm coming up with new nicknames for you. Life's going pretty good. Life is going pretty good.
Yeah,
man.
I noticed that.
Yeah. Yeah. Sorry if you're offended by that.
No, is it weird that I liked it? I just responded to it right away as if it was nothing new.
No, I think we're pretty comfortable men. And yeah, I figured that you would like that. So I'll come up with something new for you each and every single week. But hey, the reason why I'm excited, Maz, and just, you know, just I know you're feeling the same way, but we have a two-part episode today. With part one of the episode, we're going to be discussing what, Maz Khan?
Mr. The King of Bollywood himself, Shah Rukh Khan. I mean, we're going to really dive deep into this guy, how he changed an entire generation, how he defined Bollywood, really, for the last, 30 years?
Something like that.
And, you know, since we were lucky, really, we were blessed to grow up in the era when he became big and continued to just make it big.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there's a dark side to this, too, which I know you'll allude to. But we were blessed to live in this time. We get to talk about how he made us feel over the course of those 30 years.
Yeah. I mean, it's safe to say that he's literally has had the weight of the Bollywood industry on his way for the past 30 years. And my God, I mean, we've seen him like he has fathered all of us to some degree. So, I mean, there's just so much to talk about with this guy. So literally the title of this two-part series is going to be called The Rise and Fall of the One and Only Shah Rukh Khan, King Khan, Bacha himself. Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed.
Yep.
Yeah. So, I mean, like I said, 3 decades, right? Was it...
There's a lot to cover, really.
Yeah. Was it all fruits and balloons and flowers and dandelions and daisies and puppies?
Absolutely not.
Absolutely not. No.
Absolutely not.
No, not at all.
Right.
Yeah. You want to get into the phases, actually, of like how we breaking it down? Because I think the viewers out there are probably, or the listeners, rather, are probably going to agree with this.
Yeah. So I think that Shah Rukh, his career has really spanned a lot of highs and lows. You know, it started kind of low, but he crescendoed really, really high. And then it flattened out a little bit. And now, you know, dare I say, it's kind of on a downward decline. So if we had to put it really into perspective, we'd break it down into what I think are 4 clear stages.
Mm-hmm.
The first one being like the come up. And really, we can call it the anti-hero era because he wasn't playing a hero when he like really became big.
Right.
Which I think is, you know, completely individualized to him. But we'll talk about that in a second. Mm-hmm, the second era really is the reign of Khan. I mean, this guy had a golden era, which I don't really think anyone else has ever matched. I know that you disagree, and we're really going to dive into that.
Yes. Yes, yes, indeed. I mean, go ahead. Go ahead.
But at that time, he was dominating, right? That was like his. That was really when his reign was at its paramount. Then there was the third stage, which he was still really good, sometimes great even, but you could definitely tell that it was starting to decline. He didn't make it feel like he did previously, and you could kind of see it was changing.
Absolutely.
Which leads us to then the fourth stage, which I think we're currently in, and pretty much it's just WTF, Shah Rukh, WTF.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what are you doing to
it? What happened?
Come on now.
Yeah.
Right? Exactly.
Not even so, what happened, but like, who do you think you are? like how
do you think you can just continue to feed us
this
dog shit?
Exactly. Like,
and we're just gonna sit here and take it?
Oh my God. No, it's almost like it's condescending. Like, his movies are just like, anyway, we'll get into that later. I think for this episode, you know, we have room to talk about the first two eras. So let's really, really dive deep into that. So let's discuss it. So yeah, era number one.
I like it.
The come up and anti-hero era. So just to give you listeners out there kind of an idea of the movies that we're referring to. So the top dogs in this era, right, that really put Shah Rukh on the map. Bazigar.
Right.
Dar. Anjam.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Karan Arjun.
Oh, good.
Oh, my goodness, Ooh. Right? Yeah, yeah, tell me more. Yeah, let's hear it, yeah. So, yeah,
let's dive deep. I mean...
Go ahead. Yeah, yeah.
You start.
Okay, I'll take my time with this. Yeah, so look. So Shah Rukh started out on TV, right? He was coming out in dramas in India, and then he wanted to make the transition to the silver screen. So, you know, his first movie was Deewana, right? And he did that, and it got, like, you know, obviously some sort of, like, you know, commercial, you know, success, but obviously not that big. He was still a newcomer, still trying to break through. But, you know, the guy had charm, the guy had charisma. Somewhere along the line, there was people like got in his ear. And, I mean, they were just looking out for him. And ultimately, you know, it's funny to look back in hindsight and to be like, oh, my God, I can't believe they actually said that about the one and only Shah Rukh Khan.
Right.
But they were onto something, and he actually heeded their advice. And their advice was look, man, Shah Rukh, you're a talented guy. You're great. But I hate to break it to you. You just do not have the look for the leading guy. Like, you will never be that guy. So what did Shah Rukh do?
He was like the Steph Curry. He was like the Steph Curry of Bollywood.
Oh, you know I love my basketball analogies. Yes, he really, really was. Yeah. he had a bad, you know, report on draft day. You know, he's kind of weak, kind of skinny, just like Steph Curry was. You know, doesn't have the look. I mean, look, we're coming from the eras of, like, what? Who was the guy that was dominant at the time? Salman Khan, right? We had Salman Khan.
Yeah. We had Amir was doing pretty well. And it was kind of like, it was right around the decline of kind of like the old heads.
Mm-hmm.
You could see this new wave coming in, but this new wave had like really good looks. They were all really short. They all had really good looks. And they were all just these romantic, kind of like funny, but not really like in a cute kind of way, not like a joking kind of way. Like they could just.
Yeah.
They were just so silly and goofy and like innocent, really. That you love them.
Exactly.
But then here comes this Shah Rukh character, right? And he's not really good looking. He's got great hair, right? But
fantastic
that's pretty much
hair.
It. He's not good looking.
Yeah.
Yeah. Always had that.
Yeah.
And he's just kind of out here doing his own thing. But immediately, I think people noticed that, like, whenever he talked, whenever he was on screen, whenever something was going on, people just wanted to see more. Like, they were so interested in what he was doing.
Mm-hmm.
And... you know, so we were kids when these movies came out, right? I know,
right.
I've watched them since, but I can't imagine what it was like to kind of go through that era with this newcomer, right? Because we saw like the rise of like Ranveer and Siddharth and Varun, and like we saw these guys kind of come up in the last few years.
True.
And you know, it wasn't meteoric, but it seems like Shah Rukh's was meteoric at the time, and I think it's a really good point that you're making that like. No one could have predicted it. Everyone thought that he just wasn't going to cut it because he didn't look the part.
Mm-hmm.
And he proved them wrong because he did what no actor really does, which is act.
No, very, very well said. But, I mean, just also think about this. Think of the era, right? So, literally the 70s and the 80s, we were dominated all by the one and only Amitabh Bachchan, right? So, Bollywood and the world had... you know, had Amitabh fever, and, you know, Amitabh was just, everyone was like, my God, he's a GOAT, he's the greatest of all time, you know, and now since we like, you know, sports analogies, I'm gonna do this, right, I'm gonna take it to football. So, you know, the 49ers had Joe Montana, right?
Right.
He won 4 championships, it was all good, and then they had Steve Young had to do something different, right? Like, Joe Montana was a pocket passer. I've lost, like, half the audience right now by making this analogy. But anyway, I'm going to go with it anyway. So, Joe Montana, pocket presence, was to pass the football. Steve Young was a lefty and, as a quarterback, would rush. So, he changed it up, and he kind of created his own legacy in that way. So, think about that. I mean, Amitabh left, and then he had this awkward comeback when he did Chuma Chuma De De, and he was, like, way too old to be, like, being the hero and doing these, like, movies with these, like, young girls. You know, nobody...
that seems to be a theme in Bollywood.
Yeah. God, it's disgusting, but, you know, think about this now. Yeah, there was Salman, there was Amer, there was even Sanjay Dutt, like, there was all these, like, people, even Jackie Shroff, hell, he was even making a... trying to, like, make his mark there. But no one had really grabbed the brass ring, right? Because people were just, like, trying to be the good guy, trying to be charming. But then comes Shah Rukh, and honestly, him being the anti-hero really worked in his favor.
Yeah.
Because, again, you mentioned it, right? You touched upon how he was so charismatic. Like, he was just so engaging. His eyes, if we talk about
he holds your attention. He's almost like one of those, like, public speakers that you can't help but keep listening to. You know, okay, so I always say
he's a Joel Osteen, right? Yeah.
Right, okay, I am not gonna compare him to Joel. I refuse.
Yeah, okay, fine. That's totally fine.
But like Leonardo DiCaprio, right, in Hollywood, he might be the comparable one, right? The guy, he didn't win as many awards as Shah Rukh did, but he's the comparable one in the sense that, like, he really doesn't act all that different in any of his movies. Now, there's a few outliers for sure, and I'm not saying he's not a good actor, because he is.
Of course.
But whenever he's on the screen, whenever he's talking, he captures the imagination of the people that are watching him. And that's what makes him so castable, so great, and so endearing to so many fans, right?
Right.
Same with Shah Rukh.
Totally agreed.
I think you hit the nail on the head with the whole anti-hero thing. Like, he got lucky. He didn't really, like, he wasn't looking to be cast as a villain.
Yeah.
It just so happened that he was, and they bent it a little bit, right? So in Diwana, he was just a villain, right? Anjam, villain. And then they bent it a little bit, and they were like, let's try a different route. Bazir, right? A villain that you feel bad for. And people were just like, they lapped it up. They absolutely ate it up. They couldn't get enough of it. Mm-hmm. And so began the legend.
I mean, it's incredible. The fact that, like, in Bazigar, he's just able to play these, like, dual roles. And, I mean, really, like, who else was doing that? I mean, Amitabh did Mahan, right? Where he played, I believe, three roles. Wait, was it Mahan? Oh, my God, I'm tripping. Yeah, I think it was Mahan. He played three roles. He played the father, he played one of the, like, brothers, and he played the other brother. One brother had a mustache. It was Amitabh, wow. And then it was Amitabh as a father. Disgusting, narcissistic much.
I've definitely not seen Mahan.
Yeah, anyway. And correct me, and all listeners out there, I might be getting the movie name wrong, so please correct me if I am. Please, please, please. I am all about facts and making sure that we get them right. But, so, yeah, I mean, no one had done anything like that up until that point. I mean, Shah Rukh was this completely innocent, like, four-eyes guy in Bazigar, and hilarious book nerd, bookworm that Shilpa Shetty just couldn't get enough of. And then you have the other, the flip, where
he throws her off a building.
He throws her, yeah, he suplexes her off a building. She lands, she dies, spoiler alert. And, you know, we have a scene where Shah Rukh is, like, you know, trying to hide evidence, and he has a crumpled piece of paper, which he just decides, screw it, I'm just going to pick it up and inhale it.
It's still the coolest.
It's still one of the most iconic
Shah Rukh moment of all time.
Oh, my God.
Like, how can I make sure no one ever finds this? Burn it? No. I'm going to eat it and shit it out later. Just in case. Like, incredible. Whoever wrote that scene deserves their own award.
That,
like,
could have been 100%.
There should be an award named after that writer. It could have, yeah. I can see Shah Rukh doing that.
Yeah, there's another.
And also,
yeah.
Okay.
Oh, man, I'm excited. No, so, go ahead. Finish that thought, baby. Finish that thought, baby boy.
Yeah. So the other thing is, okay, so I love that you said that it could be improv, because honestly, if you see Shah Rukh on talk shows like Coffee with Karan, or like just in, like, even his TED Talk or whatever, he's a really intelligent guy. Like, he grammar and the way he, like, his Instagram captions.
Yeah,
really
RIP to the English language all around. Yeah, RIP English language.
Yeah, all around.
Yeah.
But the guy, like, he understands people. He understands what they want. And I think that he knows how to play the person opposite him. Like, I think that he would be a great player in these, like, these games, like Mafia and stuff, where you have to, like, lie to people and get them
secret
to believe
Hitler?
You.
Oh, my God. Imagine him as Secret Hitler. Wow.
For all those who have never played Secret Hitler, this is your shout out. Please go buy this game right now. It's the best game you'll ever play in your life.
I hate that game because it just brings out the worst in people, but you are a cynic, and I like it, and that's why you like it. But, okay, I also want to bring up this. There's a recent interview that I saw where Brad Pitt and Shah Rukh Khan were actually getting interviewed side by side. And in my head, I'm going at it, and, like, this is probably the colonialism in me, I'm sorry, but I have a big, you know, man crush on Brad Pitt, and I was like, Brad Pitt's going to kill this, and I wonder how he's... Yeah, I mean, come on, Fight Club, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, if you haven't seen it, go check it out. I don't know why I gave Quentin Tarantino a shout-out, like, he really needs...
Troy.
Yeah, Troy.
A terrible movie, but just Brad Pitt in it.
Anyways, Shah Rukh Khan charms the pants off Brad Pitt, off everybody in that interview. Like, Brad Pitt's almost like, yeah, I'm Brad Pitt, I'm cool. But Shah Rukh is, like, literally killing it. And I think Shah Rukh is actually younger than Brad Pitt, which is hilarious because Shah Rukh looks so much older than Brad, but that's okay. Just side
that's note. That's because he smokes like 4 cartons of cigarettes a day.
Yeah, yeah. He
takes terrible care of his body. Oh, man.
Someone earned his knee sick to this guy. But yeah, and going back to our point about improv, I wanted to give a shout out to the chase scene in Dar, where he's being chased by Sunny Dole, and full speed, he runs into a pole, like head on. And I'm just like, that was not scripted. I don't care what you say. I can't help but think that that was for sure not scripted. Go back and watch that scene. For those of you who have not seen it, it's like, you're like, what the hell? And he just bounces back off and just continues running. Like, he's so hell-bent.
I think it was his face, really, that prompted Bollywood to then just start, like, doing slow-mos. And if anyone's ever seen, like, an Indian drama serial, they know that, like, they love to just show the same shot, like, 18 times. I think that started... I know it started before. I'm just exaggerating. But I really think that it became effective. I think it became effective when they started zooming in on Shah Rukh's face. Because, man, like, you, everyone knows, like, the Shah Rukh, like, bloodshot eyes, like, breathing super hard, mouth open. And because it's, like, dubbed over, like, you can hear the, like, he's making all these weird noises.
Yeah,
but it stays with you. Stays with you. Yeah.
Sorry, that's not a dirty, but no. But that's I mean, he does that. He's done that so many times.
I hope someone tunes into this podcast right there and just hears me making the noises, followed by you going, like, "Yeah,
oh my god, yeah." My apologies on me for listening. Anyways. But yeah, and it's
we
and
digress.
It's, we totally digress. Yeah, there's selective scenes too in Dar that I recall. Just he's asleep in the house, and then he realizes. In the middle of his sleep, that Juhi Chawla and Sunny Dole have left. So he just, there's a zoom in on his face where he's just sleeping, facing to the left. He immediately wakes up, just his, like my mom says, es que aknam porkyo in the mute, right? Like he's just like, his eyes just tear open. And he's just like immediately just like scanning the room, scanning, he gets up, just scanning the bed. He's like, where the hell is Juhi Chawla? Where the hell is Geren, right? Like, where the hell is she? And he's just like, it's just like, it's psychotic. And you're just like, there's just so much conviction. Like, I saw that movie, like, not too long ago, right? And it was, I was, like, I was dumbfounded. I was, like, this is still, like, scary. This still, like scares the crap out of me. Like,
Yeah. It ages well. Honestly, I say that about Beisinger all the time. It's one of those old movies that, like, it shouldn't still be good. But it really, really is. And I think that that really is the essence of Shah Rukh from this era. Like, he was just dynamite. He was electric. He was any word you can imagine where it doesn't actually describe anything.
Yeah.
But it does, you automatically know what I mean because you're just drawn to it, right? It's just something that you can't help but like.
Right.
And that really was Shah Rukh from this era, I think, you know, embodied. That first stage, the anti-hero and his come up, those are the best ways to describe it. He was just like, no matter what you wanted to do, you couldn't stop watching Shah Rukh.
Yeah, and people loved it. People gravitated towards it. And like one note that I wanted to make was that I have an older sister, right? Baji, Saba, Farhin Ali, what's up? But she was obsessed with Shah Rukh Khan in this era. Like after Bazigar, after Dar, like you were left rooting for Shah Rukh. That's how good of an actor he was. He was a terrible person, but you loved him. You're like, oh my God, I just want him to win, even though he's done all these dastard things. And my sister would say stuff like, God, I wish I had, like, a secret stalker like Shah Rukh that's just so obsessed with me and this and that. And, yeah, that's a whole other issue we need.
I never thought you'd hear from your sister.
Yeah, exactly. I think she's married. She has 4 kids. Just all you creeps out there back off. And I think she's figured it out and she's at peace now. But my point being is that, like, our family was running to Nas Cinema, you know, in Newark, you know, anytime a new Shah Rukh Khan movie came out. And we just had a support, and we were there front in line and being like, okay, who's Shah Rukh going to screw up this time? You know, what dastard thing is he going to do that is just going to make us cheer for him endlessly? And kudos to him, man. This was my favorite era, my personal favorite era at SRK. It's his best, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's certainly you can make a really good argument that it really is his best era.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, what's crazy is we're about to talk about his next era, which is even more ridiculous, I think. I think we'll get into that in just a second.
Yeah. But
first, we're gonna take a short break. We're gonna leave you with this week's South Asian Spotlight, where we showcase a South Asian owned business or startup in the US. And stay tuned. We'll see you soon.
See you in a bit.
This week's South Asian Spotlight is with Ayaz Momin, founder of Threads and Beams.
Now, I don't mean to brag, but at my boy's wedding recently, I came in, how do you say it, straight flexing. Now, while I always try to bring something fresh to the standard men's wedding look, I was getting endless compliments this time, and it's all thanks to my new boots from Threads and Beams. And we've got the creator of those beauties with us today. His name is Ayaz. Welcome, man.
Thanks, man. It was a pleasure making those custom boots for you.
Yeah, and you always emphasize custom, so tell us more about what that means.
Yeah, so growing up, I noticed that often our shoe options were limited, what was offered on the shelves. This changed in recent time, thanks to advancements in technology and Nike ID. However, the offerings for Nike IDs, as you know, are very, very limited.
Nike ID for sure has been sick in allowing you to change colors and the look of the shoe, right? So how is Threads and Beams different?
So with new products like Nike ID, you can take the product that you already have or you already love, like a Nike sneaker, and change the colors, but not materials. But more importantly, this change did not carry over to the dress shoe space.
Yeah, and I mean, I've definitely never had a custom dress shoe built for me before.
Exactly. So we saw this as an opportunity to integrate technology and 3D printing abilities to offer a bespoke experience for your feet.
Sick.
We want you to be able to select any design, color, materials, or sole from our catalog to make a shoe that's yours.
Okay. So you all started in 2015, right? With this vision for a shoe label that remakes, you know, versatile classic shoes in small batches, both for men and women, right?
Right.
So since then, what has changed?
Yeah, we have expanded our bespoke offerings from shoes to leather jackets to leather accessories, both for men and women.
Sick. For sure. Well, I guess it sounds like it's time for me to get some slick leather goods, right? To go with my boots?
Yes.
Yeah. All right. Well, thankfully for everyone listening in, we got a special discount for you. Head to threadsandbeams.com and use code DSTPODCAST for 30% off your next order. Hey. Welcome back, everybody, to Desi Standard Time. We are discussing the rise and the fall of the one and only Shah Rukh Khan. We are back. How are you feeling after that break, Maz?
I feel great. I feel, you know, energized. I'm always so excited to talk about Shah Rukh. So, you know, a break really just helped me control my excitement just enough so I'm not screaming into the mic.
You enthusiastic piece of crap. Wow.
Wow.
Thank you.
I love it. Yes. Went from sweet pea to that.
Yeah. Sweet cheeks to
sweet cheeks.
Sweet cheeks.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Wrong part of my body was
don't forget.
So sweet.
Don't forget a little water. Don't forget. A little water. That's a new one. Yeah. So we're going to dive into now the phase two of Shah Rukh Khan. So phase one we discussed was, you know, the anti-hero, his come up, what he did to establish himself. Now we are entering phase two, which is the reign of Khan, a.k.a., in Maz Khan's opinion, literally the golden era of Indian cinema. So, to pick up where we left off, Shah Rukh has already made a name for himself, right?
Right.
He is a household name. He is someone that has done something now in the industry that nobody else had done before. He's made, like, being bad really cool. You know, and he's made a stamp, and now he has enough notoriety, he has enough popularity, people love him. Now he's given the opportunity. Shah Rukh, why don't you be the good guy? Why don't you be the lead? Why don't you be the hero? So he goes on this tirade of doing all these, like, you know, legendary, iconic movies. The first one being
the best.
Yeah.
The best era, all right? Like, can I lead these in? Can I just talk about
please.
The golden era of the
King
Khan?
I can hear it in your voice. Yes, please go.
We're talking about DDLJ. We're talking about Kuch Kuch Hota Hai, Dil To Pagal Hai. He made even some little, you know, like dark cinematic masterpiece, Dil Se. Then we go back to, like, flimsy, doesn't make any sense, but still somehow magic, Mohabbatein, K3G, Kal Ho Na Ho.
Ooh.
And then he topped it off, honestly. He just crescendoed with movies like Devdas.
Yes, yes, yes. Nah, man, I mean, that might be it. I think you're right. I mean, you know I'm Team Amitabh all day, but that might be it. I mean, it's great. Like, you cannot, it's just too good, you know? And the other part is that, like, you know, I admit, obviously, like, my Amitabh love is biased. My father looks like Amitabh, my brother looks like Abhishek, so what can I do? But, you know, I grew up with that, and I lived through I lived through Shah Rukh's era, especially this one in particular, right? So,
right, yeah. Right. These are the ones that we really, like, got to go and watch in the movie theaters. Well, you did. I know that, you know, Na Cinema was huge for you. I didn't really have the luxury. I was still buying, like, or my family was still buying those, like, 4-in-1 VCDs from the Indian store when we picked up a, you know, you VCD. Pick up a little samosa and a DVD. That's what we were doing.
Holler. Holler, holler, holler. Yeah, VCD. I mean, did you have a Indian cinema, like, in where you grew up in ATL, or?
There was definitely movies, you know, movie theaters that played Indian movies, but they were a little bit further from us, and, you know, it was kind of expensive, and, mm-hmm. you know, Desi parents don't want to spend $14 to $15 in 2004 to go watch an Indian movie. Are you kidding? Come on
no,
now. So, no. we stuck to VCDs. I said VCDs earlier. I really meant to say that we were, you know, cassettes.
Yes.
Getting those VHS tapes.
Yes.
Yeah. And then we had, like, the rewinder that would rewind the tapes.
Hell yeah.
Pop it in. Enjoy it with our fam. That's the way we did it.
That's good, man. No, we had a lot of VHS tapes. We had Dar on VHS, actually. And I think we used to, we ran it a lot. There's, like, the local Indian store as well, right? That we used to rent a lot of tapes from.
But
Na Cinema, man. I mean, I saw Kuch Kuch Hota Hai there. I saw, God, man. I mean, that was the big one, actually, that I saw. I saw Kuch Kuch Hota Hai in theaters.
That's the one that always, like, stands. I mean, if you talk to pretty much anybody, I think that people who grew up in our generation, if you ask them, like, what is the best movie? Let me frame it a different way. Actually, not the best movie, but if you're introducing someone to Bollywood for the first time, what is a quintessential movie to show them? I think from our generation, a lot of people would actually say either Kuch Kuch Hota Hai or K3G, right? Like, those
Agreed.
Are the two movies that everyone kind of, like, always points to and says, man, like, these are, they've got a little bit of everything, a little bit of comedy, a lot of romance, definitely big drama,
songs.
It's all there.
Yeah, great songs, just iconic moments, hilarious characters, just famous dialogue too, right? I mean, K3G, we all know, we don't have to discuss it, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, this is Shah Rukh's, coming out party. This is, not coming out party, but this is his reign, you know? This is when he was undisputed. No one could touch him. He was literally untouchable. Just, my God, just, like, he was such a joy to watch on the screen, right?
Yeah.
He did,
I mean,
like...
Okay, let's also look and give credit, I guess, to the Karan Johars and the Yash Johars of the world Yash Chopras of the world that were putting him in these, like, phenomenal movies with great casts, excellent scripts. Let's also give a little shout-out to Kajol, who at this time found herself... You know, ever since Karan Arjun really making herself as the, and I think DDLJ, I think Karan Arjun introduced it, but DDLJ really cemented it, their relationship and the chemistry that they had. I am not a Kajol fan at all, but you have to admit, you know, when those two are on the screen together, it's good times. And, you know, DDLJ really made that couple, like, anytime you see a movie with Shah Rukh and Kajol for the next 10 years, you're going to have to go to movie theater, watch it.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I'm Kajol, man, I don't know, man. I mean, like, the problem is that, I mean, her career, I think she's beloved to people because of her association with Shah Rukh, in my opinion.
Right.
Because what was she doing otherwise? What was she doing otherwise? Gupt with Bobby Dale and Manish Karala?
Hey, Gupt. Is an amazing movie.
Oh,
I resent that
great
you
twist.
Use that as a bad example.
Sorry. Yeah. No, this is true. Sorry.
Don't even ruin it. Like, I really think that if you haven't seen Gupt and you're listening to this podcast, there's a disconnect there. Go watch Gupt. complain about how crappy the title song is, or really, like, whenever there's some any kind of tension-filled moment in the movie, it's like, Gupt, 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 guptare, gupt, gupt. You're just like, oh my God, this is so bad. But then you...
I just remember the advertisements for Gupt on Namaste America. It was just like some... I don't know who it was. Maybe it was Lata, but it was just... Hey, 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 yeah! Do you remember that? It was just over and over and over again. That soundbite played over and over again.
I don't remember that. And I'm glad that I never had to hear it. But everyone go watch Gupt. We're gonna get back to Shah Rukh. But I resent that you use Gupt as an example of a
I'm
bad
sorry.
Movie.
I'm sorry, you're reminding me of movie. How incredible that movie is, just let alone by the marketing, and how I still remember that scream. I wake in the middle of the night, just like, go up the advertisement, oh my god, happened again.
That's Gajal's best non-Shah Rukh Khan related work.
Yes.
Anyways.
We digress.
Gajal became Gajal because of Shah Rukh. And you know, going back to kind of like what they're like off screen, if you go and watch, like, again, they're on so many interviews, especially with Coffee with Karan, because, you know, all three of them are such great friends. It blows my mind that she's friends with them because she's so annoying as a person. And she's just not on the same level of like witty and clever that both of those other two are. I'm just like, how did this happen? Like, is she just, do they just keep her around to make themselves feel better? Like, I don't know.
Yeah. And there's and I think there's a romanticization of them too, which again, I understand because it was this era that really like, God, I mean, come on, DDLJ, Kuch Kuch Hota Hai, freaking K3G, like, yeah, I mean, their chemistry is undeniable. It gave us so many memories, and damn it, man, they're like, you know, the modern day Rekha, and or of that time, the modern day Rekha and Amitabh. But man, I mean, how did Shah Rukh make you feel? What did he do to you? How did he shape you as the man that you are today, Maz? I want to hear. Tell me.
I mean, he probably, you know, honestly, he created a whole generation of Chachoras. All of you. If you don't know what that means, please take a look at our Instagram. You will easily find it. Mm-hmm. But yeah, he created I think he created a generation of Chachoras in a way, because if you look at a lot of these movies, somehow there's always two girls that he's like kind of choosing between or something like that. So it's like, oh, maybe it's okay to just be having like a roster of two girls at all times, no matter what's going on in my life.
Your safety, and then your okay, mess around with this one. Right. God, what a terrible Chachora, my God. And
what a terrible Chachora person, right? But on the other side of that, sorry, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, Rani got screwed a lot. I mean,
did get screwed a lot.
Kuch Kuch Hota
Hai? Not literally.
No,
yeah.
Whoa there, Tiger. Easy there, Tiger. In Kuch Kuch Hota Hai, and no, bring it out. In Kuch Kuch Hota Hai, and K3G.
K3G.
Man, screwed. Yeah. Screwed.
Often the one who got the short end of the stick.
Someone loved this raspy voiced woman, please.
they tried, and they put her in Chalte Chalte, which wasn't the greatest move.
Oh,
but
good lord, that was her. Anyway. Come up, yeah. But yeah, I mean, he shaped us. I mean, I think Shah Rukh has totally warped has created a bunch of hopeless romantics, right?
But yeah, but in a good way too, because honestly, like. I do remember, like, when I was going through one of, like, my worst breakups, going to watch, I think at that time, it might have even been Dev Das, which is super emotional. No one needs to quote me on this ever. Mm-hmm. But, you know, like, it almost, like, inspired you to have love like that. As corny as that sounds, Bollywood really is, like, they're the best at making you feel like everyone deserves their own love story, right? Mm-hmm. And Shah Rukh is the embodiment of that entire idea. Like, if I want to be like anybody in, like, if I'm envisioning myself as like a Bollywood star and like this charismatic guy who gets the girl and says the right thing and is always clever and always right, I'm thinking Shah Rukh. I'm not thinking any other actor. And I think that's really what I saw him as growing up. You know, I would watch these movies, Mohabbatein, right? This guy's pitted against Amitabh. And this is my favorite movie, by the way. I know it's completely, like, just random, doesn't make any sense. It's like four love stories, all four of them are totally unrealistic and weird, but I love it. It's just so over the top, and the offset between Shah Rukh and Amitabh is great. Yeah. But it's that movie, like, I mean, he's just such a good, like, person, and you're always, like, rooting for him. And it makes you want to be him. Like, you really... I've never wanted my girlfriend to jump off of a ledge more than I wanted it.
For God's
like, I wanted to be... I want to be that tragic hero. Like, Shah Rukh made it cool to be a tragic hero. And I think that, you know, anytime that someone inspires you to be like them, which is not really inspiration, it's just weird, that's just a true mark of a good actor. I mean, he's playing a character, and I want to be that character so bad.
He is a true Sufi saint of love. Like... really, like, you know, actually, kind of funny we touch upon that, but in Dil Se, there's that one song, right? That's Tu Hi Tu, and it's a Tarangi, right? There's that song, and if you notice, actually, in that music video, there's so many different colors, right? They go from black, they wear blue, they wear red, and they're actually representing like the seven like levels of love. And each one of those levels is represented by the color. So it starts off with black and then makes its way all the way to white, right? And basically, I don't know off the top of my head, and comment, you know, on our episode or on Instagram, wherever you are, those people out there that know this better than I. But, you know, some of the levels are like, you know, there's love, there's muhabbat, there's ishq, and then there's fana. You know what I mean? So there's like all of these like colors of love that I feel like Shahrukh in his career has painted all of them. He's painted all of them, right? I mean, there's like fana, there's just people that, you know, Shahrukh's like level of love that he just can't live without, right? That was maybe like displayed in that era, in his come up era. And in this era, which is just like pure, just like muhabbat, where he is just so in love. I mean, Kal Hona Ho, right? This guy is about to die. He's about to die. Right. He knows his death is inevitable. He's in love with Preeti Zinta. But what does he do? He picks up a Saif Ali Khan off the street, realizes that, hey, there could be potential here. This piece of crap has no idea how to please or talk to a woman. Screw it. I'm just going to take the fall. I'm going to do it for him. And he is just an angel. Wow. You know, like that was him. And that you know, he was able to just, how many levels of love can you break down? How many levels of love do you live and do you comprehend and bring to the silver screen? Wow.
And I think thank you for that rant. That was great.
Yeah. Sorry.
I think you're hitting the right point here, because my point was really that like Shahrukh makes you want to love like Shahrukh does in these movies, right? Like he is what I want to, if I want to be like wildly in love and have like this romanticized view of life, it's got to be like Shahrukh's, right? And fana is a great word. So for those who don't know it, it's an Urdu word, which literally means to, like, oblivion, to be destroyed or to be annihilated,
yeah.
Right?
Annihilate is a good word, yeah.
And it's used a lot in, like, poetry, in songs. There's an Amir Khan movie named after it. But it literally, like, the most common usage of it is you're, you know, in love with someone to the point where it destroys you. And that brings me, I think, you know, to Dev Das, which I really think was kind of like the culmination of Shahrukh, because you're right. In all these movies, he's hit like different characters and different levels of love, and then he finally hits like the press, like the peak, right? Like the one where you just like are, it's unrequited love. Well, it's requited love that you just can't obtain.
Yeah,
and it literally destroys you.
Right. Yeah, that's a good point. Dev Das is actually that. He completely, you know, drinks himself to oblivion. You know the famous dialogues, Miles, you just delivered so well. But like, you know, that's exactly, yeah, what that was. I mean, he just gets destroyed and you understand him. You're just like in awe of his, you know, I have to say Dev Das was, I think when it comes to acting, like, yeah, obviously in my top five, for Shark movies, I'm not going to lie though. The Kal Hona Ho, the Mohabbate started when it kind of got into the air for me personally. Like I like Shark up until that point. I mean, I was just like, dude, this guy is charismatic. He's, God, you love him, man. You love him. It taught me how to love.
It was really easy to love him before that, because you had like the DDLJ, the Dil To Pagalhez, the Kuch Kuch Hotahez. These are blockbuster films that no one can deny are like quintessential great Bollywood movies.
Yeah.
But continue. Then you get into the Mohabbate.
Yeah, something started happening to me where, I don't know, maybe I was just becoming too cool, or I was just becoming, I don't know, a man. I don't know. He was starting to annoy me at that point, because it was almost like, you know, I can look at it in hindsight now as an adult and be like appreciative of what he did. But I remember for me, particularly in that era, I was just like, man, like, come on, man. No one is this good. Like, just okay. And everybody's just like crying, falling for him. I'm like, all right, like I used to cry for him in Kabhi Haan Kabhi Na, you know, like that's when he used to make me tear up. But, like, now I'm just like, I don't know. He started not doing it for me. You know why, actually. I'm kind of sad to admit this, but there was a new guy that came around that time that I was kind of a fan of, and I saw a lot of potential, but he did not reach it at all. One Hrithik Roshan. That's just me, though. He was a dancer. He had the body. Good looking. Obviously, at the time, he was doing good movies. But then, like, he did Mushit Dosti Karoge, and I was like, and then Shahrukh did Dev Das. I was like, okay.
if you haven't heard our episode about Hrithik and his meteoric rise, or sorry, fall, please feel free to check us out on that. But yeah, I think you're right. Like, this is definitely, I can see where that decline has, like, the caliber of movie kind of changes. But I also don't know how to put those aside, because in reality, like, I love those movies. You know, they're movies to me. And I think maybe that's a part of Shah Rukh's charm, is like, even though these are movies, like, I know Mohabbate is dog shit, but I love it. And I truly do love it, because, like, it's his terrible abilities, or sorry, inabilities to play a violin on screen. It's his it's his weird style. Like, who wears sweaters like that? Like, it's just weird.
I will only own the color white now in my wardrobe. That is all. Yes. That's it.
Yeah, I mean, if you remember, Narayan Shankar wears black the whole movie. It's literally light versus dark. It's so obvious and corny, but it's there.
And I think that
it's
Sorry, go ahead. I do not want to interrupt you on this rant.
No, sorry. Yeah, I'll be quick. I'm just so drawn to him during this era as an actor. Yeah. Like, he just delivers the lines that in a way that. Like, you know when you leave a movie that you were expecting to be, like, really, really good, and you're just like, oh, there's something missing. Like, there's nothing one thing I can point at, but it just wasn't great. Mm-hmm. Never left that in, like, the late 90s, early 2000s with Shah Rukh. Like, you always watched a movie, and he always delivered, mm-hmm. even if the movie wasn't, like, the greatest. Like, even for this, like, not a great movie. But man, like, I left the movie like satisfied.
Yeah. Shah Rukh was in it, and you just loved it. Period. Like, I don't care. I saw Shah Rukh on screen. I'm happy. Like, I got my $22 tickets worth. Right. Like, that's how much Na Cinema charges for an adult ticket. But yeah, and I think for me, like, you mentioned how you love Mohabbate as being, like, so terrible, but it was almost like you didn't care. You loved it. It was also this era where it's like Salman Khan was in full effect, like, Chichora mode. And was a complete, like, buffoon. And I just fell in love with that. I was like, this is another cynical level of, like, entertainment for me where everybody hates it. But I'm just like, God, I can't help but just keep watching him. He's just so in his own groove. That's kind of where I was starting to adhere to. And I was like, okay, Shah Rukh, that's mainstream. I'm too cool for that now. So that was just me personally. But I mean, Maz, I got to say, Shah Rukh Khan, I mean, stellar career thus far. I mean, is there any other way but up for him? Or... What do you think?
You would think so, but I guess when you hit the top that quickly and for that long, the only real way you can go is down. And I guess the only real consolation we have for Shah Rukh is it wasn't meteoric like our boy Hrithik, but I think you alluded to it, you know, with the latter movies in this era and how you could kind of start to see the shift.
Yes.
And I think that only continues moving forward.
It was a slow downward spiral. But we eventually got there. But we will have to discuss all of that, the second half of the Shah Rukh career, on part two of this two-part episode of The Rise and Fall of Shah Rukh Khan. Everyone out there, like, subscribe, comment, let us know what we missed. What were your favorite moments, you know, from those eras about Shah Rukh? Let us know what you think.
Yeah, we'd love to hear about your favorite Shah Rukh Khan moments, specifically, you know, from the first two stages that we've talked about. We look forward to those.
Yep, and tune in back for episode two of this two-part series, The Rise and Fall of Shah Rukh Khan, where we discuss the second half of his career and see what the hell happened. So signing off here, Maz Ali signing off.
Maz Khan signing off, and see you guys soon.